Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Hope you're well. Appreciate you joining us. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. Director Matthew in the house as well. If you're listening on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, greatly appreciate it. If you're watching on War Chant TV, greatly appreciate it. Like and subscribe. Share with others. Yes, sir. Yes, man. Thank you kindly. Well, man, we got handed a gift. Got handed a gift today as college football fans and the soap opera that is college football and the plot twists that we're monitoring on a daily basis, some of them of very real concern, some of them surface-level hilarity. And We got that. We got that in spades today, man. That is too good. A lot of fun. And you can bet that we'll lead with it. We'll have plenty of talk about it. I'll get to it. We're actually going to examine the Jimbo Fisher press conference from today, word for word. We will go word for word. I feel like nobody in America is better equipped to tackle the non sequiturs, the random nonsense, the gibberish, the meaning behind the meaning behind the meaning of Jimbo Fisher. Nobody is better equipped to do that than me. As somebody who interviewed the man every week for the entirety of his time in Tallahassee, and that includes when he was the OC, I can tell you I have been on the other end of those, of that wrath, of those moments of irrational anger. And I've also been privy to the biting, scathing, at times absurd criticisms, as well as gleaning insight from the man himself. So this was set up. It was the best. When I saw Nick Saban's comments, and Ira and I today went on War Chant TV, you can watch that video, to kind of tackle the apocryphal comments of Nick Saban and how they were directed at. Here's what's interesting is, Tom, and again, we're going to get into word for word what Saban said, basically, but also Fisher's response, moreover. What Saban said in front of a room full of people who are a collective to do something about it, that is to say business people that he would like to see garner money and give. I remember thinking to myself, well, he's not wrong. He's probably just not the right guy to deliver the statement, as we would all laugh at this. But I knew instantly, well, Jimbo's response, it's not like it's going to be measured. It's going to be immediate, and it's going to be that of a man who feels personally offended, attacked, and slandered, besmirched. Because if Coach Fisher, if Jimbo Fisher thinks, if even for a second, that you are questioning his integrity, his honesty, the truthfulness of a statement that he might make, Even noting the nuance required, he will come out swinging. Whether it's warranted or not, I've seen it. I've been on the other side of it. I merely questioned one day whether or not Christian Ponder had practiced. And I was armed with the answer. But I asked the question because I wanted to know how he would phrase participation. What was it he would say about Ponder's practice that week? Because it was of vital importance. He was the starting quarterback, and I knew he hadn't practiced. And so asked the question, and he was enraged, because he thought that I was questioning the truthfulness of what he said about Christian Ponder's availability and or ability to practice, period. And I knew then, I'm like, okay, well, this is some deep-rooted stuff here. This goes back to something. This had to have happened many moons ago, and he vowed, never again will I sit idly by and let somebody question my integrity, my word, whatever it might be. So it's fun. It's fun. We've got everything from his mention of Bobby Bowden, his knock on Saban's narcissism, thinking that he's God, quote unquote, his straightforward, effusive denial of cheating, and then the entirety of it all. It's 9 minutes. We should just stop and start it all day long. I couldn't help but think of how perfect this is. I mean, we could just go, all right, here's what he meant here, here's what he meant here, here's what he's saying here. It's perfect. 1, 2, 3.
Is it fair to say that this is the best thing that the NIL era has brought us yet?
Because, this little feud?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is making life complicated for us.
Very.
And making life complicated all the more for people in college football that actually work in the industry day to day. But this, this Jerry Springer left turn is unbelievable.
Goodness.
Yeah. I'm so thankful.
But it is really believable, though. It really is. It's like, okay, Saban's going to say that. We're all going to roll our eyes because here's Nick Saban, who just a year ago is noting that Bryce Young could get $1 million before he takes a snap. To the press. He's saying it to the press.
He was lamenting it, of course.
Oh, yeah. And so then I'm like, so then you're going to turn around after that and tell everybody that we don't entice. We never did it that way. We never – NIL's become this – inducement, this is pay for play. Well, he's right, it is. That's exactly what's happened. They've skipped go, man. They just, bam, it's not supposed to be what it actually has become. Duly noted. And while that's a fair statement and it is unsettling, it's just hilarious to hear Nick be the one to call it out. So Alabama's system, since he's arrived, remarkable turnaround. It's amazing.
But think about it. This NIL world that we live in is the flame that the moths just can't help themselves. Like, they would always, maybe behind the scenes, certainly behind the scenes, talk about each other just like this. We know they would. We may have heard a conversation or two like that.
Correct.
But this is what brings it all to the surface? It took this for them to do it in front of the camera. That's the amazing part.
But it's a I mean, man, it's crazy, too, because... Well, I don't want to get bogged down in the minutiae. It's more fun to just actually listen to the words. So you know what we'll do? We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll do it. We're going to play the press conference for you.
The whole thing.
We're going to play – now, I'm going to interrupt because we're going to do – I'm going to translate Jimbo E's for you. We are going to do this because I'm telling you, as I sat and listened to the nearly 10 minutes of the rant, I was sitting there thinking, I know what he means by that. I can see through that. Oh, that's just pretty direct. Then there's this, but you got to check out the darty eyes, the surveying of the room, looking for some sort of, he feels like the other shoe's going to drop at any moment because he realized what he's saying is salacious. He's got a terrible poker face. It's just, it's all perfect. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, so we should do this. For those that don't know what the hell is going on in the world of college football, I guess join the party. But as it pertains to this very specific back and forth between Nick Saban, head coach, Alabama, and Texas A&M's head coach, Jimbo Fisher, obviously formerly of Florida State University, as a national championship winning coach here, somebody we're very familiar with, to say the least. And so it was that Saban told an audience, primarily of wealthy business owners, go figure, about the shenanigans that he's accusing Texas A&M of engaging in. Quote, "I mean, we were second in recruiting this year," Saban told the audience. "A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team." This is a direct quote. Just get to it. "They made a deal for name, image, likeness. We did not buy one player, okay? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. It's tough." So I don't have to translate Saban. That is a direct money grab. That is an ask for funds. That is, hey, listen up. I know I rule the world of college football with an iron fist, but my realm as me at the helm may be coming to an end because there are others with an equal passion to yours, ladies and gentlemen. They too would like to reign supreme in the world of college football. And much to my chagrin, they've anteed up. They've anteed up to the point where they had the gall to recruit the number one class in the country despite being in the middle of nowhere. Look at that place. That place is hell on earth. And they have the number one class. And I assure you, it was not through hard work that that happened, but cold hard cash. That's the Saban translation to the audience. Saban said Alabama players made $3 million or so, quote, "doing it the right way." Last year, only 25 players were able to leverage NIL deals. Well, in truth, in the real world, that seems about right. Most players, if they're truly just using their success on the gridiron to make money via name, image, and likeness, in the world of college football, would be able to garner next to nothing. They have no real value to most businesses if this is the way we're honestly looking at it. Very few players actually do. That said, the other part about coming to it honestly is something to raise an eyebrow and snicker at, given Alabama and Nick Saban's history. He's not the first coach to call out the Aggies. Of course, Lane Kiffin did it, and that pissed Jimbo off earlier this year. I have to give Lane Kiffin credit. His comment was, "Texas A&M's going to incur a luxury tax." they paid so many players for their signing class, quote-unquote.
He's the Spurrier of our time. Oh, it's just he needs to win a little bit more, and then he really can be the Spurrier of our time.
That prompted a stern response in which Jimbo Fisher called him a clown show, clown acts, and irresponsible as hell. Saban went on to say, coaches are trying to create advantages for themselves. Yeah. Now, that's been going on a while there, Nick. He said that all coaches know how much money is available to them from their school's collective, which I agree. He's right, and it is a problem. It sucks. It's awful. But, yes, that's exactly what's happening. He says that that allows them, in this case he's talking about Fisher directly, to know how much they can promise each player from the pool. That's pay for play. That runs against everything that NIL was supposed to be. He went on to say, that's not what it's supposed to be. That's what it's become. And that's the problem in college athletics right now. Now every player is just saying, what am I going to get? Saban said people want to blame the NCAA, but he's not so sure they can do anything about it without suffering the consequences of litigation. He's right about that, too. He went on to say this, and now we'll get to Jimbo in just one moment. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State, he's talking about Deion Sanders, paid a guy $1 million last year. And he was a really good Division I player to come to his school. It was in the paper. I mean, they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at the University of Miami, they're going to pay a basketball player to come in $400,000, and it's in the paper. The guy's telling you, this is how I'm doing it. He's right about that, too. Obviously, he was referring to Travis Hunter, who flipped his commitment from us to go to Jackson State. Raised quite a few eyebrows. Deion has subsequently, of course, denied that that happened. Most believe that legally he kind of has to because there could be trouble otherwise. Look, we all know what's going on, and we know who are the culprits, and frankly, what we then have to do at Florida State to get down, to compete. Jimbo Fisher didn't like being singled out. And so in a press conference today, and I love right from the get-go, and we'll start translating, I love the softball, the massive softball just thrown to him to kick things off. Like we're here for any other reason but for you to refute and to go in on Nick Saban.
Coach, I'd like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
No, yes, I would. I would like to do that.
First of all, say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group.
Pause it. Okay, he's not taking a shot at 17-year-olds, but that's smart of Jimbo to immediately trot out their 17-year-olds.
Yeah, but he's already 0 for 1 because an organization, I mean 17-year-olds, my organization,
right?
Children.
Also, by the way, that they're all for he caught himself because when he says that they're all just about the money, that they're breaking law. Yeah, yes, man. Yes, they were about the money. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If my 17-year-old son was a really good football player and Texas A&M offered him $1 million or more to come play for him, I'd say, by all means, go play football for Texas A&M and take that $1 million. Ain't no shame. Go make your money, son. Proceed.
Never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable.
Time. What are you talking about? The way you do things is by players. It's all right, though. It's on the up and up, as you're correctly about to point out. You didn't break any laws. You didn't. That's why he can say over and over again, we didn't. I mean, this is despicable. Doss, this is what? These kids and their mamas.
Head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him.
What?
You'll find out all the parody. Go.
What? What does that even mean?
Parody in the meeting room?
What is it?
It's equal time for you to speak and for you to speak. There's parody in this room.
I think what he's insinuating there, usually again, we have to, you know, you read between the lines of the non sequiturs. But what I think he's saying there is Nick knows there's never been parity, first of all, in college football, which is true, just in generally speaking. But also, he's saying the reason there's never been parity is this a-hole pays for all his players and been doing it forever. Go up to anybody. Go ask him. You, go do it now.
Dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people.
When I ask my assistant coaches to drop off $1 million at Gene's house so that he plays football for us next year, they do it. They've done a great job.
It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids.
Again, I can't take it. These kids. Why? I love them.
Why do I keep saying people?
Yeah.
Not the money people, the kids.
I mean, it's one thing to accuse me. You can say what you want about me. But these children, he's attacking children.
And their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past.
He's killed people.
Ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out.
Go look it up. West Virginia, 1981, he killed somebody.
It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved.
Just like the family of the man he killed.
It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people insult you publicly the way they're doing it.
And you'll get paid right on time like
you guys
promised.
For people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him.
Okay, hold on. A serious note. Yes, he's right to attack Saban, who's pouting because he was bested, which is rarely the case. But the things are, with this no violations, and are, and is, and was.
It will be.
And true, and can't, what it once was. I'm telling you, go look at it.
You know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
Okay. And, thanks for asking the question I told you to ask me before the press conference.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
to... got all the advantages, it's easy.
And I just wanted to...
I need more money is what I'm saying.
Point blank. So no players in your... You're saying that no players in
the state
received any
money? There's no laws of anything
no
ever promised,
crazy
done,
laws.
Anything
There's
that
no
goes against the laws of the state
wind.
Of Texas. And it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
They didn't. We did.
Down front, Brent.
You know, y'all had both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of... You know, a mentor type to you.
It's disappointing.
Well.
No, I wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
Coach back behind
He's
the line.
He's asked me 17 times to come back, and every time I said, I won't do it.
Coach, is this an area where you would want to see the league office and the SEC, the commissioner's office get involved if coaches are putting out specific accusations of violence.
That's their job. That's fine. I'm sure they will. They'll reprimand or say something. And
that means no. Nothing's going to happen.
We'll move on, I guess.
That's a dumb question.
This is about our players and Texas A&M and the people that work for here and the coaches here. That's what this is about.
We're good people. Make a mistake.
We're not going anywhere. We have still a lot of work to do.
And we have a lot of money.
This is going to be a great program, and we're building
it. Well, I guarantee it's going to be a great program.
Any other questions down front, Travis?
I know everyone saw the initial post from Sliced Bread or whatever, but where do you feel like this is coming from?
You got me. Sliced Bread. Well, but I mean, when coaches say that, come on, man.
Why'd you bring up Sliced Bread? It's not him. It's not peanut butter jelly. It's none of them. It's Nick Saban.
I got to credit the reporter who is trying to get him to go in on Sliced Bread again. That is a baiting question, it's and he kind of took it. He kind of took the bait. He's like, please say Sliced Bread. That's the question.
Yeah.
Will you please say Sliced Bread again?
Can you blame Sliced Bread like we all want you to? It's endless hours of entertainment. Some guy named Sliced Bread is out here accusing us of illegalities. Sliced Bread! Corey Clark joins us next. Stay tuned. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. Let's bring in our friend and cohort, Corey Clark, warchant.com. I'm sure he's enjoying this as much as we're enjoying this. Hello, brother. How are you?
Man, I'm great. I am absolutely great. I mean, not many things hopped me out of bed to go right. I might have still been in bed around 10:55 in the morning. But when I saw that Jimbo was going to have his own press conference, Daddy got up and got after. Daddy had the keyboard right there. I wanted to write as soon as he was done.
So did it bring back the fond memories we both have of seeing his eyes darting around the room,
yeah,
this paranoia and anger seething just beneath the surface? And
a little bit of quivering lip.
Yeah.
You get a little quivering lip, too, when he's, like, really mad and he's trying to contain it just a little bit.
Yeah, he's this close to punching somebody in the face at all times. Like,
yes,
that's he's had to fight the inner West Virginia in him a long time, man. It's all there. And the best part about this is they're both West Virginia. So this could get some coal mine ass kicking going on here soon.
And one of them apparently was slapped as a kid and the other one wasn't, and that's the problem we have today. if only Nick had been slapped as a kid.
I have a suspicion, just a hunch, that if you asked both gentlemen about child rearing, they'd tell you the key is to beat the hell out of them. I mean, that's just a hunch, given the West Virginia background and some of the things we've heard them say.
Man, it's unbelievable. It was awesome. Not because I'm taking sides. There is no side. What Jimbo did is kind of bizarre and goofy and made no sense. Like, he wasn't accused of cheating, really. He was accused of using the system that's currently in place to get a lot of – that's what Saban was complaining about. It just happened to be that A&M. But the point that he keeps trying to make that we didn't buy our players, it's like, buddy, we're not idiots. Florida State, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, they've all paid money to some players to come play football for them. That is the world we live in. You landed the number one recruiting class in the country with, I don't know, 19 five-stars? I lost count. But you wanted us to believe that they all just came to play in that cow pasture because they love the way you coach football? Come on, man. We know they got paid because they were getting offered money from the other schools that were recruiting him.
Well,
it's so weird that he's so defensive about it.
Yeah, because it takes away the credit. See, that's ego. It takes away the credit. He wants everybody to believe that they outworked everybody else in order to garner the greatest class ever recruited in college football history. And the truth is, once you realize that the vast majority of those kids said yes because they were paid handsomely to do so, it negates all of your excellence in the realm of recruiting. And here's the weird part. He's a really good recruiter. I think he always would have been been, right? Under the old way, the new way, you name it. But now you don't have to be. That's why I was talking yesterday, Corey, you know this. A lot of the people on the boards, a lot of people on Twitter are asking whether or not Florida State's going to hire Tim Brewster. And they would always say right afterwards, he's a great recruiter. What the hell does that matter anymore?
It
doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, I mean, you could be the best recruiter college football's ever seen if working behind the scenes with a guy who has endless funds for you to go drop off to the players that you're seeking to bring in.
Sarah Blakely could win Rivals.com Recruiter of the Year 20 years in a row if she wanted to. Just splash it on them. But
it's
there were so many great moments. The somebody should have slapped him as a kid. I love the part that was really intriguing to me because of who was saying it is when he said, oh, and he's supposed to be the greatest of all time, right? It's when you got all the advantages, it's easy.
And you're going, what?
And I'm like, man, this dude has been bowing. He has been a disciple of Saban for 15 years. He has been bowing at that altar. And then for him to, and if anybody knows how hard it is to get a program on top and then maintain it, it's the guy that won a national championship and then 3 years later crashed it into a mountain. You would think he would appreciate that level of consistency that Nick Saban has had. And I'm certainly not a Nick Saban defender. I think he's ruined the sport. But it's just crazy that Jimbo attacked him. Like, I bet that hurt Saban more than anything else. More than the getting slapped as a kid or God had some skeletons in his closet or whatever he said. He's like, man, he ain't that good a coach. Y'all think he's a good coach? He ain't that good a coach.
And
anybody can win at Alabama.
The thing is,
Mike DeBose.
Yeah, the thing is, half of what he said we know he doesn't believe. Because how long has he just, like you said, bowed at the altar of Nick Saban? I talked to Coach Fisher. I lost count how many times I've talked to Coach Fisher. And I would tell you 98% of the praise that he gave other coaches centered around Nick Saban.
Like how maybe, much about Bobby Bowden?
Bobby Bowden about 1%, maybe 2%. And that doesn't, fine, that's right. It's his experience. It doesn't matter to me whom he gives the credit to. I'm just pointing out, observing, that it was convenient for him today to invoke Bobby Bowden's name. I mean,
and people that are here, people like us, people watching this show or listening to it, realize, yeah, great, you can say you learned all this stuff from Bobby Bowden, but as soon as you took over for Bobby Bowden, you fired all of his assistants. You freshmen couldn't talk. Assistant coaches couldn't talk. The spring game was the most important thing on earth. You went to your administration and complained over and over and over about what you needed. You followed the Saban blueprint to a T because that's how you learned, and it worked for you to an extent. I mean, recruiting really helped, but like that's what's so crazy is we all know he's much more of a Saban disciple than a Bowden disciple, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then he comes out and invokes Bobby Bowden's name and says, yeah, I learned what to do with Bobby Bowden and what not to do with Saban. It's like, all right, sure,
well,
bud.
Yeah, no, that's one thing about Coach Fisher that has always been true is when he gets started, he doesn't know when to stop. Like, it's going to continue. It's like if they would have sat there and just kept lobbing, I'm telling you, they could have gotten so much more. He probably had somebody waiting in the wings who he told beforehand, get me off the stage before this amount of time goes by because I know where I'm headed.
If you hear me say the words stabbing and drifter, you have to get me off the stage because that is a rumor. I don't know that he did that for sure.
I love the dig into the past to see how God got his deal. I love the mandate. He gave it to every reporter in the room. He basically told them all, I summon you now to go and research Nick Saban's past. Sick him.
And it's so crazy because the response is so – it's like when you tell somebody they're dumb and then they punch you in the face as hard as they can. Like the response doesn't equal what Saban did. It's like Jimbo he's just arguing against air. Because I don't think Saban thinks he cheats. I don't think anybody said he cheated. And I also want to know how many of his recruits are 17 years old. How many? He signed 25 kids. How many are 17? Two? Yeah. That's probably the average, right?
And Nick Saban, that bastard, is attacking their character.
Yeah, those
he
kids.
He wants you to know those kids and their families, that I mean, they don't have any integrity.
But they nobody judges kids for taking money to go play football, Jimbo. Nobody. You do, which must say something about you.
In fact, you know they value the money because you're paying them the money, which you ought to do if you can get away with it.
And you went – it's like he would take offense to people saying, well, you left for A&M because they paid you $7.5 million. They paid you $75 million.
Right.
And he is the kind of guy, in my opinion, that would take umbrage with that. Like, oh, no, and I'm sure he has in the past. I didn't do it for the money. I'm not about the money.
It's what the money represents.
But it's like, man, it's just like I wanted a fresh start. I wanted to build up something here, blah, 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 family atmosphere. But it's like, man, nobody judged Jimbo for taking $75 million, and nobody's judging these kids for taking money to go play. Why would you? I mean, it's crazy. I can't tell you the things I would do for $1 million. The list is endless.
And we'll leave it there. Okay, we'll good, leave good. It there. Bye, my brother. Be good.
Peace. Love you.
Love you, too. Oh, that's funny. What I wouldn't do for $1 million. Just like a Jimbo Fisher press conference, we were forced to stop there because I was about to play the game.
Help me.
I'm saying we're DOS.
Nick Saban is sliced bread.
It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.com.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way. You take a right turn with this and get into some of the other aspects of what this leads to, and that would be probably a Sankey phone call.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would guess that this is considered a pretty bad look. You know, two SEC schools, not a good look. But also, anybody who's paid attention and knows what the hell is going on is like, yeah, well, of course.
See the conspiracy theory out there that this is their way of working something? This is fake and manufactured between the two because they're looking for a change to the system?
Well, what's funny is, first of all, neither would benefit really from a change to the system. They're probably better off than anybody else in this situation.
They are, but they're old and they're really tired of this BS.
Yes, but secondarily, what I would say is that if, in fact, it was agreed upon the way that I theorize certain dust-ups in the past between Saban and Finebaum have been agreed upon, I would tell you this. Jimbo probably crossed the line, so as Saban at first was chuckling, he's like, oh, this is going to be great, guys. Watch this. This is going to be funny. He's hilarious. What? Well, hold on. When he starts talking.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy. That,
all right, now this is
a lot of things you don't want to know.
You know,
we built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him.
All right.
You can find out anything you want to find out.
Easy.
What he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Okay, so Jimbo coached with Nick Saban and lauded him.
Dig into me. Yeah. I coached with him.
Yeah.
It's despicable.
Well, we were talking during the break. If that is not held in the middle of nowhere and there are real reporters there, then they would have said, well, tell us. You coached with him.
I would like to dig in, sir.
Yeah, I'm asking. I'm going to follow up on you've led us to the water. I'd like to drink. So tell us, how does he do business? You were his OC. I mean, I'm doing what you asked me to do.
You said ask any of them.
I'm asking you.
You're one of them.
You're here. They're not. So I'm asking you. What did he do? How did he go about his business? And A, you'd have been run out of the room, but B, Jimbo would have shot you those darty eyes of death. But he also, I'm sure, would have deflected in some sort of code, like man code. Well, I'm not a snitch. I'm not a snitch. Go ask Doss. I bet he'll tell you.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Doss coached with him, too. And me.
He's not on staff, sir.
Go find him. He's not in Atlantis. He's here.
I would love if he called Atlanta Atlantis,
yeah,
and nobody corrected him ever.
Like, what in the hell?
He just says that. Shh, don't point it out.
Yeah, that'd be. I mean, that's classic. Find guys that have coached with me and him, and we'll all go through this together.
We're gonna beat him. We're gonna take the West, and we're gonna go play in Atlantis.
Woo!
Did he just say Atlantis?
It's the stammering that somebody's pointing out is great, but the stammering is always fun, and you're just waiting for him to grab. Like he's reaching. He's gonna find that next thing to latch on to. Used to be society. So, like, he would sit here and be, like, lamenting this and that and a lack of worth ethic and people's inability to focus because they're distracted by social media. And then somewhere in there, he didn't know where he was going. It was kind of just he's meandering about. He can't find the point he was going to originally make. He's now lost track of it. So he just, society, DOS, what? That's how that would go. And you're like, what? Okay, all right. Well, I don't know what just happened there.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. Mm. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Lost in all of this is that he's gone back to the hair. He was bald. Then he had the little island, Isthmus. Then he came back, had a little bit more, then a little bit less. He's really, this time around, you're like, oh, that's thickish gray hair there in the front that you've added.
Right. But clearly he just took off a hat before he sat down because it wasn't presented.
That's very smart. He's always understood that we would recognize the hair is in fact a weave, that it is fake hair. But what he's done is not to go over the top with the presentation. That's usually what gets attention called to it. You got to come in looking a little haggard. Like, you know, this isn't great hair. It's my real hair. See, I wish it was better hair. It's not. It's my real hair. But you're like, no, that's not your real hair. There's more today than there was yesterday.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Except about my hair. I can't. It pisses me off. And it's like the whole, like, when he did that and then he grew the beard, like, my man is about to audition for a sitcom.
Well, that's, yeah, he does look like that, doesn't he?
It was great.
One that's not on the major networks. It's no, on, it like, USA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's Pacific Blue 2.
It's a cop show for sure.
Yeah. They're on the bicycles.
Yeah.
But that was when he was jacked Jimbo as well. Remember he got in really good shape with the beard?
That's right. Well, yeah, no, he fancied himself. Well, he was on the market.
He was on the market.
He had to get back.
I'm back.
Yeah. Look at all my hair growing back now that I got rid of Candy. Yeah, he had the weave and then the... But then he realized it was too thick. What I love is the moment that he took the time, a fleeting moment, where he walked past the mirror, clearly saw, well, this is ridiculous. I look like Matthew McConaughey. Let's thin it out and make it gray.
Sir. If that's a conclusion he comes to, then I understand more about his press conference. If he thinks his hair looks akin to Matthew McConaughey.
No, I'm saying he realized it was way too thick. He was like, we overdid it. We overdid it, I tell you. It's true.
I've got all the money.
Yeah. We can do this every day, all day. I don't care. I got $75 million. What do you want? And two ranches.
It would be fantastic. If by week four he was Mike Gundy. He's like, you know what? Yeah. Let's go Gundy.
Screw, we're all in.
Full Gundy.
Yeah. We don't buy players and this hair is real. He's just over the top over and over again.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Sit at my ranch and think about how honest I am. Staring off at the sunset on horseback.
Thinking about how honest I am? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Jarman Fortson's knee was scoped.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, no. No, that's our that's gamesmanship, Tom.
There wasn't a game. It was the first day of fall camp.
Gamesmanship.
It's fan day.
I don't want the opposing team to know who I have lining up on that fateful Saturday.
Haven't told the players yet, so I'm gonna tell a lie to buy myself time so
gamesmanship,
I can tell the players.
Tom.
Coach, what happened to Jarman? Why is he getting his knee scoped? About that, fellas. He's not with the program anymore.
Yeah.
Because right. He got hurt?
Yeah.
No. No. This is one little white lie. I'm sorry about that.
His choice.
Never again.
His choice. He made the decision. Because you could always say that.
If by knee you mean weed,
yeah.
And scoped you mean smoked, his knee was scoped.
And by not going to play means I kicked him off the team, yeah. He did. He had. I miss those moments. Those awkward. Oh man, be careful. Be careful, because it's at any moment he's going to blame the set of circumstances that have made him incredibly uncomfortable as we sit on you, and that is going to become an incident in the hallway. That is going to be you being pulled aside and spoken to in a most disrespectful, unprofessional manner. That's how this is going to work.
Or 7 missed calls at a bar north side of town. Yeah, one of the two.
Oh, my man. Hour number 2, forthcoming. Stay with Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Extra music, Tom. Extra music. I can't begin another segment. I just wish Doss was on his staff. Where is Dossie? Let's find that out during the break. I didn't even look. I'm sure he's got a job. Everybody should call him. Figure out both staffs.